As has been mentioned tonight, we're going to spend time worshiping and studying from God's Word as well as singing and joining singing in with that. And I want you to keep your Bibles out and keep your songbooks out as we sing and as we join in song together and think about thoughts of heaven. And I'm afraid sometimes as we're singing that we get so carried away with the different parts that we're singing or what I'm supposed to do next or when am I supposed to come in, and maybe we lose sight of the words that we're singing. In fact, these words are going up to praise God. But what I want us to do tonight is focus on the words, all right? As we sing, let's think about what we're singing. Think about what you are saying to God and what we are saying to each other as we assemble here and as we join in song together. And as we said tonight, we're going to focus on heaven. And when I think about heaven, one of the first things that comes to my mind is hope. Because as I think about heaven, heaven is not some place where I can go down to the nearest travel agent and buy a plane ticket and get on an airplane and fly and see it and come back and determine by that whether that's a place I want to go or not. Heaven is some place that by faith I know is there. And by faith I look forward to going and I look forward to being with God and I look forward to participating in some of the very things that we're going to talk about and we're going to sing about tonight. But the only way that I can hope to go there is by hope itself and by faith. I can't see it, except as it's revealed to us in God's Word. And tonight, as we think about heaven, I want you to see it in your mind. I want heaven to be a real thing to us. Not something that's vague and something that, yeah, it's there and I kind of want to go, but I want us to get focused on heaven. I want us to be thinking about heaven and determine right now that heaven is my ultimate goal. And as I said, when I think about hope and I think about heaven and the hope of heaven, I go all the way back to the cross of Christ. Because as we think about the sacrifice that He made for us, certainly without that sacrifice, there would be no hope and there would be no heaven and there would be no possibility of us ever attaining that goal. And so in our singing tonight, what I want us to do is focus and start at the cross and work our way as we think about heaven. Turn, if you would, to Matthew, the 27th chapter. I want to read just a couple of verses from this passage. As we think about the cross and the fact that it was at the cross that we could have hope, I think there's some verses here that certainly bring this to our mind very well. Matthew 27, begin with me if you would at verse 45. 45. The scene we have is Jesus on the cross. He's hung there for several hours, and now we see him as he nears the end, and we see some of the events that occurred. We follow along in that week. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. And the rest said, let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he cried out with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earthquake, the rocks were split, the graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. As we think about the last minutes of Jesus' life, and you hear him as he cries out to the Father, and then you see him as he gives up the ghost and he dies, and you can see in your mind's eye the earthquake that occurred, and the rocks that were torn apart, and the veil of the temple that was torn in two from top to bottom, and the graves that were opened, the tremendous events that occurred when the Son of God died. I want us to turn over to Hebrews 6. As we look at Hebrews 6, I think we get a little bit better insight into what all this means. And what all this signifies to us and what this means as far as our hope is concerned, particularly if we think about that veil being torn in two from top to bottom. Hebrews 6, I want you to begin in verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. That's what we're thinking about. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. What's the writer saying? He's saying that as we look at the scene at the cross, and as we see the death of Christ, and as we see the story told to us, how the veil was torn in two from top to bottom, what we have symbolized in that veil being torn is the ability for man to enter into the presence of God. It hadn't been possible up until that point. And now the veil came down. And as a result of the veil coming down, as a result of Christ dying, we can have the hope. And the hope that we have is the anchor of the soul. It's steadfast. It's sure. It's attached to the throne of God Himself, and it was taken there by Jesus Christ. And what more solid a foundation could we have as we're being tossed to and fro on the sea of life than to have our anchor attached to the throne? And to have the hope that we have because of the death of Christ. Turn to number 6 in your song, if you would. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would He devote that sacred head for such a one as I? Of course, read at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Sing, if you would, the all 5 verses. Sing the chorus at the end. Don't sing the chorus until the end of the 5th verse.
Alas, and in my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would He devote that sacred head for such a one as I? Was it for my sin that He brought upon the sea?
Faith, I rest on His own changing grace in every eye.
94. Oh, listen to the wondrous story, number 394. The chorus says, "Who saved us from eternal loss?" And the answer comes, "Who but God's Son upon the cross?" What did He do? He died for you. Where is He now? He's in heaven interceding. The story doesn't end at the cross. Christ took our hope that we have to the very throne of God and is there interceding for us. Sing all three verses. Or it's in the first and the second, but the first and the second verse of one.
Oh, listen to our wondrous story. Now that it was among the lost. Yes, what came down from heaven's glory, saving us from the lost. Who saved us from eternal
of heaven is that What John had to try to do as he wrote this down was put this in some way so that we could get this in our mind, what heaven looks like and what heaven is all about. But to describe the beauty, the glory of heaven would be impossible. There's no way in the words that we know and in the descriptions that we would be able to use that we could describe its beauty. I've been fortunate to live in several beautiful parts of the country. And I think about Niagara Falls and the beauty of Niagara Falls, and I think about the area where we lived in cherry trees. And once a year, the cherry trees would come into blossom, and you would drive down a row, and on either side, the trees would just be blooming, and you can hardly imagine a more beautiful sight. I think about the dogwoods this year. And you're driving back somewhere in the county somewhere, and you're driving down a road, and you see the beauty of nature and the white and pink dogwoods as they happy to get any prettier. The beauty of heaven is indescribable. It's beyond comprehension. And we just have to understand by faith that it is a place that we want to go and that it is a beauty that is beyond our imagination. Turn to number 194. How beautiful heaven must be. Sing all three verses, if you will.
We're ready to go to a place that's called heaven. It's made for pure and the free. This truth's not worry and given us. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be.
Amen.
we think of the beauty of heaven, beautiful robes so white, beautiful land of light, beautiful homes so bright where there will come no night. Remember that description as you read the Revelation? Beautiful crown I'll wear, shining and bright over there. Yonder in mansions fair, gathers there. In all three verses, number 29.
Beautiful gold, so white, beautiful land of light, beautiful gold, so bright, where shall come no light, beautiful crown of glory, shining from the moon, every man's step, every step. Beautiful gold, so white, beautiful land of light, beautiful gold, so bright, beautiful land of light, beautiful crown.
And to be gathered around the can't think of anything much better than that. I want you to turn to 2 Samuel 12. We read a passage down here. 2 Samuel 12, begin with me in verse 19. We know, if you get a little background on this passage, David has committed sin with Bathsheba, and a child has been conceived as a result of their adultery. And we know that God has told David that that child was going to die. And David has begged and pleaded with God not to allow that to happen. And we see what happens when this child dies. 2 Samuel 12, beginning verse 19. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him and he ate. Then his servant said to him, "What is this you've done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." So he said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? And now he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." David, as he said those words, obviously had a concept of a reunion. At a time while at this point God had taken this child from him, David realized that there was going to come a time when he could see that child. And I told y'all a few months ago, or probably less than that, time's gone by quick. I told y'all about the fact that when we were at LaDonna's funeral and we went to her burial, that we found a grave there that my parents had told me about, of a little boy that was born to them before I was born, that died right after childbirth. And as I stood there at that grave, and there was just this tiny stone that indicated that it was my mom and dad's child and my brother, as I stood there, I thought, wow, you know, someday I'm going to see him again. While I never knew that child, and while I never had an older brother, there's going to come a time when we get to heaven where I will be reunited with that little baby. And I know you remember back Shelby Kretsch, my cousin's little child who was born with a chromosome deficiency, who died soon after, a week after she was born. And well, we never got to know Shelby. All we saw was Shelby suffering and go through tremendously difficult times. We're going to see Shelby again. Shelby won't be in any pain. He's not going to be suffering. He's going to have a perfect life. He's going to be in heaven. And I think about my grandfather. So many of you knew far better than I ever did. And I was got to see him a few times, and I remember some things about him, but I never knew him very well. That's what people have told me, and I look forward to knowing my grandfather again. And I think about other great men that I've been coming in contact with, and women, people who mean so much. I think of a guy named Don Duke in Canada. Or not in Canada, out of Texas. We went out there for a meeting, and I only was with Don basically for 1 week. But that week was so much fun, and we would eat all day, and at night after the service, we'd go out and walk around the block, and Don had this big old dog, and I told you this story, that dog would walk Don around that block, and he just seemed to be the picture of health. When we got back, just a few months after Don had a brain tumor, they diagnosed a brain tumor, and he was dead before we ever saw him. We can see Don again because he was a faithful Christian. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful thought it is to think of a redeemed heaven. I remember in Canada, as I mowed that cemetery up there, and as I spent time out there pushing that lawnmower and having time to think, and you walk by somewhere and you see a name on a tombstone and you knew that person. And you go by a little bit farther and you didn't know that one, but you would.